Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How important are connections? Jesus tells us in our reading that we heard a few moments ago. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I have a video that's going to show at this time to talk about that.
Time to get that multitasking, 100 billion neuron connecting, priority arranging segment of your wonderfully constructed brain to contemplate this. Ever wonder how many handshakes take place in a day? How many hugs happen? How many one-to-one face-to-face conversations go on? What about glances, kisses, laughs, and prayers, ways we connect? And you, right there, right now, how are you connected to the person next to you? The people around you, your friends, your enemies, the strange dude at the mall? How about the movies you watch, the books you read, the messages all around you? And how do you connect differently than people connected in the past? So many thoughts, ideas, blogs, texts, posts, and tweets these days. Everybody wants to connect to someone or something. And the World Wide Web of intersection and connection has changed everything. Get this. 1 out of 8 couples married in the U.S. in 2008 met through social media. Unfortunately, half will be divorced in 5 years, connected and disconnected. There are over 500 million active Facebook users who spend over 700 billion minutes per month clicking, posting, uploading, and downloading. An average user is connected to 80 community pages, groups, and events, and each person creates 90 pieces of content each month. Folks got a lot to share, lots to say. So much that the average user spends 55 minutes per day, 6.5 hours per week, or about 1.3 full days per month on Facebook. And that's just people sitting around home, because more than 200 million are on Facebook through mobile phones nowadays, because long lost are the days of landline phones, busy tones, and yeah, Davy Jones. And speaking of cell phones, in 2004, 674 million were sold, which is 105 million less than the 779 million sold in 2005, which is nothing compared to the almost 4 billion sold in the last 3 years. Some people in the world who don't have toilets or houses have cell phones. People really want to connect. But wait, there's more. 1 trillion text messages were sent in 2008, 1.5 trillion in 2009, and then it went up to 6.1 trillion just recently. That's 1,000 texts per person for every person on the planet. That's a lot of connecting. Yet this hasn't even scratched the surface. There's over 50 million tweets per day, over 60 million LinkedIn people, and 43 million people still visit MySpace per month. Then there's however many millions on Ning, Tag, Meetup, Bebo, My Yearbook, and Friendster looking at everything from post to pics to video. Speaking of which, it would take you over 27 years without sleeping to watch all the videos uploaded on YouTube just this week. Everybody wants to connect. Connect with a friend, connect with family, connect to the past, connect to the future, connect to God. Connect with God. The one who created connections, voices, images, ears, eyes, smiles, kisses, glances, faces, friends, music, color, stars, electricity, light, laughter, and love, just to name a few. Connect with him? And what does that mean? Well, you connect the dots.
When I was growing up, none of that was happening. In fact, we didn't get our first TV until I was in sixth grade, and I was one of the early ones. We also had a phone line that was a party line. There were 4 families on each phone line, and so we'd have to listen for our unique ring in order to know that someone actually wanted to talk to us. And we didn't want to tie up the phone too long because 3 other households were expecting to use that phone line as well. So now Jesus tells us the statement today, keep connected to him, that he is the vine and we are the branches. We need to be connected to the one who created us. In fact, he created this universe and everything in it. Certainly he connected with us. But Adam and Eve decided they needed to change that connection. And Satan moved right in. And through that process, there was a broken relationship between God's creation and his people. And we've suffered with it ever since. There's an ongoing separation between God and his people, and it doesn't just get repaired on its own. This is why we're here today, in fact, to remove that separation with his son. To do this, God sent his son born that first Christmas. He removed the separation by ultimately paying the great price of our sins, yours and mine, and by his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has paid in full the debt that our sins owe. In fact, when he was on the cross, he called out, Tetelestai, It is finished. The debt is paid. Your sins and mine were totally paid in full. The past, present, and future sins as well. This is why we're grafted into the family of God. Do you remember when you were grafted into God's forever family? It happened at your baptism. Some of you remember your baptism. Others of us don't, because we were infants. But no matter what age we were baptized into that family of God, the same thing happened. Your sins were washed away. You were covered over with the righteousness of Jesus. Remember when Jesus called out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did this because he was carrying your sins and mine and the sins of the world, and his Father couldn't even see him because of all the sin on him. That's why some churches have pastors wear robes or vestments, because they want to picture to the congregation that when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as sinners, even though we are, but rather covered with the righteousness of Jesus. And therefore, we are sin-free, saints of God, joint heirs of eternal life. Another thing happened at our baptism. The Holy Spirit took up residency within us. And as a result, you and I are never alone. Jesus is always with you. Do you know that? So now our lesson from Jesus continues. He says that he is the vine and we are the branches. You live in a grape growing area. As we drove in this morning, we could see they're doing quite well, getting ready for another harvest this summer. Grapes take a lot of work though. Our daughter married into a grape growing family in Madera, California. And about 10 years ago, they built a house on a portion of that farm. And when we go there, we get to see various stages of the grape growing and the work that's involved in keeping those vines where they need to be and fruitful. Jesus explains this section to us by telling us that his Father is the vine dresser. He prunes the vineyard. He waters, cares for the vines. And Jesus is the vine. He's that thick trunk that runs from the ground to the branches, and we are the branches, and our purpose is to bear fruit. So Jesus reminds us, I am the vine, so that you stay connected to him. Jesus is the only way a person is to remain connected to God. It is through faith that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and hope for this world. Verse 4, Jesus makes this glaring, obvious statement. Don't let anything separate you from Jesus. In addition, Jesus tells us that there are two types of branches, fruitful ones and unfruitful, non-fruit-bearing. Fruit-bearing produce the crop with the fruit that we are supposed to be. The others, the fruitless ones, they cut off so they don't suck all the life out of the vine and burn it. So why does this happen to some people who at one time were Christians? The answer is verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, Jesus tells us, anyone who does not continue to be connected to him through his word and sacraments, that person's faith dies. He or she stops bearing fruit and becomes a throwaway branch. Too often this happens to Christians. They break down in the middle of their lives and start living like unbelievers. Why does that happen? Well, 1 Peter 5 reminds us, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. To a Christian, we need to regularly gather around God's word and sacraments and his church, where our brothers and sisters in the faith also will be encouragement to us, to care for us, when we go through the burdens and trials of life. All of life is filled with cares and worries. Right now, you are either in the midst of a problem, coming out of a problem, or going into it. That's what life is all about, trials, either at home or at work, in the neighborhood. And so the message from Christ is so important to us today. Parents, have you noticed how your kids, when they get close to becoming teenagers, start telling mom, "Don't kiss me at school. I don't want my kids' friends to see this." And then a little later on, "You can drop me off a block away from school. I can walk the rest of the way." Well, the same thing happens to a church attendance. The attenders of our church are getting older because fewer of our children see the importance of gathering week after week. Today, God wants you and me to question, what kind of a branch am I? Are you producing fruit of faith in your life, or have you broken down and become disconnected from the vine? How good it is that we can go to Christ, repent of our sins, and receive his forgiveness. And this is exactly what happens week after week as we gather here. We have our time of confession, where God's grace says to us, "Your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Go in peace, cleansed and forgiven." But just because you are forgiven doesn't mean your and my life will be easy. There's a second kind of branch, that's a prune branch. Verse 2, we read, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." This is what God does to you and me. He prunes us, cuts into our lives to remove some things that we might not even want him to remove. We think that we need these things, and he says, takes them away. And we may even ask, "God, why are you doing this to me?" But God is pruning you and me for our own good. He wants us to become fruitful Christians. He wants us to produce as much fruit as possible. Perhaps some of you are going through pruning even right now. And we are experiencing this in our lives. While it's happening, we learn to trust that God knows best and that he is in control. There's a third point that stands out. Jesus tells us in verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The fruitful Christian is the one whose life is filled with good works. These good works, first of all, include obedience to God, doing what God wants. And even when the rest of the world is doing something different, good works include the way we treat other people. People at home and our families, people at work, our friends, and yes, even total strangers. And Galatians 5 says it this way, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control." When you're around people, the first thing you and I should be asking ourselves, how can I serve them? How can I show the love of God to this person? Is this my opportunity to witness of Jesus to them? All of us would like to be fruitful branches, but how does this happen? How can you become even more fruitful in your life? The answer is staying connected to the vine. And the final point Jesus teaches us today is in verse 4. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Three times Jesus reminds us to remain in him, to abide in him. There's only one way to remain connected to Christ, and you're doing it right now, just as was pointed out in the children's message a few moments ago. We're here listening to God's word. We know we've failed God this past week, but we've also heard him declare that you're forgiven for Jesus' sake. I ran across a story that may be of help. A native lived up in the mountains, far away from what we would call civilization, and he had a chance to go to the big city for the very first time. What amazed him most was every night there were lights on all around the city. And so he took the few bucks that he had and bought some bulbs and switches to take back to his people up in the mountains. Well, that night came, he crawled around in the trees and put bulbs all over the place, on top of houses and wherever he could reach. And then people got curious and asked him what he was doing. He says, just wait. Wait until it gets dark and you'll see. Well, when it came dark, he turned on the switches, but nothing happened. No one told him about electricity. He did not know that the bulbs were useless unless they were connected to power. Jesus tells you and me the same thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus alone provides the power we need to live productive lives of faith. Through our connection with him, we realize Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ will come again for us, and he wants everyone to know this truth as well. So what kind of branches are you? If we think about it, we are all four at various times in our life, aren't we? We get to repent of those times that we feel like throwing away branches. We are thankful that God has forgiven us. Although it is painful, we are thankful even that God prunes us. We are thankful that God produces the fruit of faith in our lives. And we are thankful that Jesus remains in us and we in him through his word and sacrament. May the light of Christ shine through us as we go in peace this day and always. Amen.